Hi everyone, I'm Stephanie, a mom to a Mito fighter. On our podcast, Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito, and I'm glad you're here to learn and to be part of our community.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Energy in Action. We are excited to have with us Tony DeLorenz, who is a Mito mom extraordinaire. Tony lives in Pittsburgh, and in addition to her being impacted by mitochondrial disease, she has three children who are also impacted by mitochondrial disease. So welcome, Tony.
Thank you very much for having me.
So tell us a little bit. Let's just start. First, let's talk a little bit about you and what your journey has been like with mitochondrial disease. You know, has it been something that's impacted you your entire life, or what has your journey been like?
It sort of was a confusion, so to speak. I was a very small girl, like in high school and in the beginning of my adult life, like 108 pounds small. And I was an athlete, although I always had problems with breathing and having enough lung capacity. Like, and I always attributed it to the fact that I was small. And then as I got older and I started having children, more and more things started happening. And it all seemed to be in my endocrine system. So I had twins in 95. Then I had one in 97 and one in 2000. And then in 2000, my youngest son was very, very sick. And they told me that if I continue with the pregnancy, that a lot of things were going to go wrong because I was showing a lot of signs of things. And I ended up having a heart attack that year. I lost my thyroid that year. I got PCOS that year. I was suspectful for Cushing's, like all this endocrine stuff started happening. Mm-hmm. And then I got this weight all up on my body that I just can't get off. I can't get it off. Nothing's changed. Like, I'm still the same athletic person. I'm still the same diet. Nothing has changed. And a lot of people could say this is just due to just having kids, but it don't make sense to me.
Yeah, it was different.
It don't make sense to me.
It really wasn't until the pregnancies that you really started to get some answers as to what was going on with you.
So basically, I was trying to find out what happened to my kids. So I knew my daughter had passed. I knew my son, Jesse, had a heart problem. My youngest one has a transplant. And then there's Jenna. So I just wanted to know how I could help Jenna. Like, what more could I do to get her in a better position because of this constant falling and ataxia and stuttering? What is all this? So we went to geneticists. We tried all these things to try to figure out what was wrong, and they couldn't figure it out. Dr. Goldstein saw us in the hallway. She came in and asked to talk to me and Jenna. And we were meeting with Dr. Edinger to try to figure out what more we could do. And we just got back a test where they had put 50 needles in Genevieve's legs and then was turning electricity on, and Jenna couldn't feel it. So they were trying to figure out, like, you know, what's up. So she took a sample, and then we didn't hear from her for 6 months. And then she called me one day and said, can you come down to Children's? I think we know what it is. So we go down, and she proceeds to tell me that Jenna has mito. And I didn't even never heard of that before. And she said, you probably have mito, and that's probably what's wrong with your kids. And then she opened up my son Joshua's file, and she was like, oh my God. Because Josh was a big mess. That was a mess. Much bigger than Jenna. Much bigger. Although Genevieve is the one that suffers the most now. Josh was a mess. But anyway, so that's what when we found out about the whole thing with what Mito was, and then, you know, trying to get that whole situation taken care of.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about, because what I've heard you say a lot is about your mother's instinct.
Yes.
And just things just kind of didn't feel right. The doctors were telling you one thing and it just didn't feel right to you. And I think that that's something that a lot of our Mito moms and dads and caregivers, you know, when you have a loved one that's impacted, sometimes things just don't feel right. How do you move forward and advocate for yourself when you're in a situation like that? And you just know we need to look at some other options. Like, what would be your advice to other families who are going through something similar?
So I believe that you know your child better than anybody.
Right.
You know what makes that child tick. You can almost finish their sentences. You created this life. You know what this is about. And you're the one that was there through all the milestones. Throughout everything, I always saw that there was a light on in with Genevieve. I always felt that her heart light was on, her brain was on, even though all the doctors were telling me that, you know, she probably wouldn't talk, that she probably would not amount to too much because they were just seeing the neurological symptoms when she was born. I never believed it. I never believed it. And I used to say, no, I don't believe that. I really think we should look at this. And I did some research on my own. I did some things to look at stuff like what is ataxia? What causes ataxia? What could have possibly happened to her? And then I would ask them about it. I would challenge them about it. And I'd ask them, I'd say, well, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Can we look at this? Can we look at that? And through that deduction of going through the processes of what made sense to me, considering the whole pie, that's when what would move me forward. And I often think of that movie Lorenzo's Oil, where that dad was trying to figure out how to fix his son. That's what it was like. It was like a full-time job of looking on paper what the doctors are telling me is wrong with Genevieve, and then me trying to go through the process of deduction, what my gut was telling me and what made sense to me, and then moving forward.
Yeah. And I mean, how fortunate to be able to stumble upon Dr. Goldstein at CHOP, because she truly is a gem in this community in caring for our mito community. So that truly was a blessing to connect with her so early on.
Yes.
And have her advocating and treating the kids and helping you, you know, on this journey.
Yes. And Dr. Goldstein, the one thing I like about her is she understands the intensity of what this is like as a mom.
Right.
Like, she never really judged me because I'm pretty intense when it comes to my kids. And I don't stand there and just take everything they say. I question it and I challenge it. And I come to the table with them. Like, I know that I'm not a doctor and I'm not trying to be one, but this is my child, my life. You're going to go home to yours. This is mine.
Right.
So we're going to sit and have a chat about like, okay, why do you think that? I want to know the doctor mind of why are you asking me to do this? And I'm not going to just give her stuff without you telling me what the reasons are and what should I look for and what's the growth like and all of that stuff. And Goldstein was willing to do that with me. She was willing to make me part of the team instead of I'm just the mom.
Right. And exactly what you said, it has to be a partnership, right? You have to be in partnership with your medical team, making decisions, sharing information, communicating. And one of the things that I admire so much about Dr. Goldstein is just her compassion. Right. Because she is a mom and she really brings that into her practice and how she interacts with her patients, which is remarkable.
Yes. And she understands suffering. She understands what suffering is. And she understands that when you have had it and you have a moment of weakness and you break down, that is just the manifestation of what it's like to be a 24-hour caregiver. Like my life is about Genevieve and these kids. It's what it's about. Like, I don't have the same goal sets or the same thinking or thought process as other people because my life is forever different in what my pursuits are. You know, people say to me, what would you want more than anything? $5 million, da, 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 da. And I would say, what I want, you can't give me. So it's a priceless thing.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you have three children impacted. You've lost a child, which is devastating. And you have three children who are here with you who are impacted. Tell me what that was like managing your day to day as a mom who was impacted yourself and then having three children who were also impacted.
I think the biggest way to start this conversation is you become the town weirdo. You become the weirdo because you're living a life and death situation every day and it changes you as a person. So I never had the opportunity to celebrate my children like other people. Like, I could never put my kid in a stroller and go to the park. That was a not option because I had one hooked to a feeding tube with a pet pump. I had one with a walker. It was never normal for me. I had one that couldn't eat food. He was highly allergic to everything. So there was no restaurant ability. There was no take him Chuck E. Cheese. There was no normal. So, and then the ability to be locked in because I was locked in with my children. I couldn't take a break. There was no one that could do it. There was no one that could handle the tubes. There was no one that could handle what I was doing to the level I could do it. And it wasn't worth the risk of leaving and having something happen. So you drive yourself crazy with with it, to be honest. And you change as a person. I totally changed as a person. I became ferocious when it came to my children. And I didn't spend any time asking myself the questions of why this happened to me. Why did God do this to me? I didn't do all that. I did this whole thing of like, okay, I would write in journals, like, how can I, okay, this is his symptoms today. What do I need to do to get him here? What more can I do to get him there? What therapy can I seek? What this could I do? That was my whole focus. But throughout it, I lost all my friends. I lost my marriage. My ex-husband could not handle this and he left us, which I understand. I'm not even mad about it. I get it. Not many men could stand and do this. It was a rough. It was very difficult, especially when I had Josh in 2000. I'd lived in the hospital for 18 months solid. I mean, he was home with the other two. And when I left, Genevieve stopped eating. She stopped walking because I wasn't there.
Stress, so, yeah.
Yeah. So there was just a vital role I had to play. But you have to understand the casualty of who you are no longer exists. And then you really do become strange because you're out in a world not being able to have conversations in the same way that other people have them. Like, for example, even at my job now, people will say to me, oh, I went to such and such place on vacation this summer. What did you do? I can't take Genevieve on vacations. That's hard. That's difficult. And, you know, they don't understand that. Like they don't. So I just choose not to be involved in the conversations.
Yeah. But what I know about you, Tony, is that regardless of that and that challenge, you flip that on its head and found a way to bring those moments of joy to your children, to be able to celebrate them. So talk about how you were able to do that.
I did a lot of personal things with my kids. So I would put out a big piece of paper and we would all paint together. And we might paint all day. That might be what we do. Or we might make a tray of food together as a family. We did a lot of stuff together. When Genevieve wanted to dance and the school didn't want her to be there because she couldn't stand and dance, I made sure Genevieve had the opportunity to do that. I said, you know, you can't discriminate against her. Here she is. You know, when my son wanted to play baseball, it was the same thing. Like, I just made sure that, you know, he had the opportunity to play and to do those things. And when they did really well, you know, I celebrated them. And when they were struggling, I tried my best to give them support to get them through it. I treated them as typical children. They did not even realize that they had challenges until much later in their life because I didn't treat them differently.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So let's fast forward a little bit. And, you know, you talked about getting the kids in activities, and as they started going to school, what were some of the challenges, the biggest challenges that they all faced going into a school environment, you know, socialization, and how did you manage through all of that?
So this is difficult because I'm a teacher, so I know what happens in schools. Okay, so anything a teacher would tell me, I would look at them and be like, look, you're preaching to the choir.
Right.
So. And I teach significant special education. So like, you can't tell me anything that kids do is going to be more challenging than what I do, because I do the most extreme thing with kids. So when my oldest went to school, he wasn't hit with a ton of resistance from the social arena. He had a lot of trouble with learning. His brain does not work like other brains. It's an energy problem. He has an energy issue. He can't ascertain to a task for enough time to be able to get it. And the teachers just labeled him as disordered. Like, they just would not, they were not willing to see and work with him to get the final product out of him or nurture him on a level that Jesse needed. And we talk about individual education. Jesse did not get that. When it came to Genevieve is smart as a whip. Her IQ is 157. Every ounce of her energy is in learning and school. She had her book out. She had her pencils out. She was ready to learn and loved it. Her problem was socialization. The girls tortured her in school. She actually wrote a poem in her 12th grade year called "I'm the Invisible Girl."
Wow.
Because they treated her like she was invisible. Like, she was insignificant and invisible, and they bullied her. It was just a mess. And to Genevieve's grace, She never told me about all this stuff. She came home every day, did her homework, had conversations with me, and she never told me. And I didn't know till much later into her school career that this was going on. And I asked her, why, Jenna? And she said, this is what she said. She said, Mommy, I realize that my role in this world is to show people how to suffer gracefully. What do you say to a 15-year-old who says that to you? I was like, what?
She is wise beyond her years, but she learned a lot of that from you, right? Because despite all the challenges and things that you face day after day, raising three children, losing a child, having your marriage suffer, you still did it with grace. And she did exactly what you did. So you taught her that.
Yes. Yes. That's what Goldstein said. Goldstein said she's a little me.
Yes.
I'm just glad that she's softer than me because I'm not so soft. I'm a little more boorish than Genevieve. I'm a little brazen, but because Genevieve is softer than me. And then when my youngest one went to school, it was a really big travesty because he has chronic diarrhea from the transplant, significant learning disabilities. He was literally in a drug-induced coma for 9 months.
Wow.
So it's not surprising to me that he struggles with learning and with everything. And the school just would not be flexible with him. It was a complete pulling of teeth to get him through. And then Joshua was not a nice kid. He would tell them off.
Yeah.
So it just became this power struggle between the teachers and him. And nobody could understand that if you could just get in the back door, this kid will not give you trouble. Like
you're
causing this problem with him by embarrassing him in class, by talking about his need to use the restroom, his need to do stuff. Like, just, can't you just understand? But there's a lack of understanding of invisible diseases. Lack of understanding. He looked normal, so why doesn't he act normal? That's what they used to say.
But now fast forward, and you have these three incredible kids.
Yes.
Tell us about what they're doing now.
Oh my gosh. My oldest son, he's amazing. He is amazing. He is the antithesis of my creativity. He's so outside the box thinking, which is amazing to me. So his dad was an artist. So I have to give him that. I mean, cause that's what his dad did, but Jesse's very, very precision oriented with what he does. He's very meticulous and he's very good at creating he creates shoes, and it sounds crazy, but what he does is he goes and he gets like a Louis Vuitton bag. He dismantles that and then makes a brand new creation on his canvas, which is shoes. But it's, and lots of people do this, but not to his level. He hand punches every single stitch and it looks just like the factory. It's amazing what he does.
The shoes are incredible. And we were fortunate enough, Jesse donated a pair to the Derby Day auction. And I had been following him on social media and said, we have to include him in this. We have to share his story. His work is incredible. And some of the biggest names in Hollywood and sports, he's made shoes for, which is just truly amazing.
Yes, yes. And he moved to Dallas to try to reconnect himself. And so he's trying hard to break through the scene. It's not easy, but he's trying. And I give him all the credit in the world. His biggest fallacy is energy.
Yes.
Energy is just his fallacy. He gets tired, but he's doing it, and he's way creative. And I remember this kid taking Mike. I was so mad at the time.
I can only imagine the story.
He took my couch cushion apart.
Oh gosh,
the underneath fabric.
Yes,
the underneath fabric, and he made something with it. And I didn't know he did that. So it wasn't until I flipped the cushion over, cleaning it, I was like, where's the bottom of my cushion? And yeah, he had made a custom vest for someone.
Oh, I love that.
But that's him. That's him. He's very, that's the part of me that he gets from me. Like being able to make something out of nothing.
Right.
That's how he is. And I'm very proud of him. I need to give him major props. He's come very far, but he has a long way to go. Cause to come into this industry as quote unquote a nobody, and try to get in. He's trying with all his might to break free. So hopefully someone sees him and someone recognizes him and someone gives him a shot, because people are, you know, recognize that what he does, because now he's down in Dallas trying to make a name for himself, and they're very, very impressed, because lots of people do this, but not to his caliber. It takes him so much time to do a pair of shoes because he's very meticulous at what he does. And I can't say enough good stuff about it, because that's amazing.
Yeah, his craftsmanship is impeccable.
Yes, it's true. It's definitely true. And that is so him. Then there's Peachy Pie, who's my Genevieve. My Peachy Pie, she's sitting on 4 books right now. She wrote 4 books. Her first one was when she was 18. She published a book called Peach Suffering. It's called Universal Acceptance of All People. And it's written from her perspective of what it was like being in an environment where people would not accept her because of her disability, and what it would look like through her eyes. And it's an amazing read. It really is a book about hope. It's about positivity, and it's about making lemonade out of lemons, because that's what she does. And then she wrote another book into her 20s called Suffering in the Shadow of Death, because Goldstein told her that, you know, she may be looking at a shorter than typical life, and that she better like do the things she wants to do, because it could go either way at any moment. So she wrote that book to try to give people, again, she always says, her big quote is, "I'm not going to be here forever, but you will. I'm going to impact people for as long as I can, but I need to pass the torch to other people so that they give opportunity to people based on race and creed and disability, and to spend their life being positive, and to spend their life, you know, being motivating, to motivate people to move forward instead of all the stuff that holds people back."
Right. And her legacy will be unending.
Yes. And then she's working for a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful lady, and her company, and Genevieve loves it. She gets up every day and puts on a full outfit, makeup, jewelry, everything to do her job. And she loves her job. She loves her job.
And we love her. And we are so grateful that we were able to bring Genevieve into the Mito Action team as part of our family. And I'll learn so much from her every day. And she inspires us. And she's just amazing. She truly is amazing. And, you know, there are days when I know Genevieve is really struggling physically and she's having a hard time. And it doesn't matter what she's going through. She shows up with a smile on her face. She's kind. She's gentle. She just is truly an inspiration. And we are truly blessed at Mito Action to have her as part of our family, without a doubt.
I appreciate that, because there would be no other place that could celebrate her the way you guys have. And you've given her confidence, and it's been amazing.
Yeah.
The other campaign Genevieve does is her Positive Peach packages.
Yes.
She loves doing those. She sends out, you know, on average 5 to 10 packages once every other month or whatever, depending upon who she gets. And then she loves doing that. She customizes stuff that goes in the package based on the person's specific need, and she's trying to spread all the positivity she possibly can. She's trying to do podcasts. She's trying to do lots of stuff. So Genevieve is just
Busy.
Yeah, a breath of fresh air.
She is.
She's just lemon. She just likes to make something out of things. So that's another thing that I taught her, I guess.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the Positive Peach packages.
Yeah.
Who is a candidate for Positive Peach Package, and how do you get on her list to receive one?
So it's on the Mito site, which has been really helpful. The Mito Action site does a very nice highlight of her and how to get a hold of her. But Genevieve also does podcasts every week, lives, I should say, not podcast, lives, where she talks about a certain topic, and she talks about, you know, different things. And she always ends hers with, if anyone here feels like they need a positive uplift, or if you need some further inspiration, please. And she always uses the website. Please go to this website and, you know, contact me if you're in need of something. And then she specifies what those things are. So she really, really caters to anyone who needs inspiration, but mitochondrial disease is really near to her heart. So that's the campaign that she tries to do. And it's primarily mito patients that reach out. There hasn't been a bunch of others that have. It's been mostly patients that have reached out, want to know more about her, you know, those kinds of things, which is cool. And sometimes she'll do a private FaceTime with someone if like a parent wants them to talk to their child, and then they talk about the packages, and then she gets more information of what would help that person. And that's kind of where she goes from there.
Yeah, it's very individualized. And so if anyone is interested in learning more or nominating someone to receive a package, or if you yourself feel like, you know, sometimes you just need to know there's someone else on the other end and you're not going through this alone and you just need a little uplifting. You know, this has been a rough couple of years on top of everything else our mito families are dealing with. I would encourage you to reach out to Genevieve, and you can go to the Mito Action website and just search Positive Peach, and the application will come up and you just fill out your contact information, and it's really simple. And within a week or two, you'll get a nice treat in the mail from Genevieve. It's very personalized for you. So it's wonderful. So Tony, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for the kids?
I have to first finish this off by with my youngest son first.
Yes, absolutely.
My redhead.
Joshua.
Yes, Joshua. He was kind of a mystery child. And I'm going to say that I was surprised to be found to find out that I was expecting him, because my ex-husband had a vasectomy. So God wanted him here, or whoever, the universe, power, or whatever, wanted him here. And they told me April 11th that Josh was showing on a sonogram that something significant was wrong. And they did not know what it was. And they really wanted me to terminate. And I could not do that. And so I basically said that he's going to be born if he's going to be taken, then that's the way it's going to go. And I had him on my birthday.
What a blessing. That's a blessing.
Yes.
Best birthday gift ever.
Yes. And Joshua has struggled. He was in the hospital for 2 years, hyper on lipids, the whole shebang. And Joshua is still continuing to find out where his sunset is. He's not sure yet. He's still in pursuit of something. Right now he's working at UPMC. He's a patient transporter. He's thinking about maybe going to be an x-ray technician or something. I'm not sure, but he has his particular ailment has been pretty significant. So he has significant struggle. And the reason I bring him up is that I meet lots of moms and kids who have the same story, that they suffered so significantly. And then what's the fallout of that? So as we lead into the next question of where do we go from here, I really believe that everyone has a struggle, something they got to deal with. And if you have something that's even more significant, you need to work with that struggle to try to figure out how to get yourself in a better plane so that you can understand your purpose, and don't look at it as a negative. Look at it as a gift, because you are seeing something or experiencing something most people don't. And if you really sit back and think about what your impact is, what you could do with your knowledge of your eyes wide open because of what you went through, you can not only help yourself, but you can help so many other people who are dealing with particular struggles.
Right. And in line with Genevieve's themes, you have to find the positive.
Yes.
Right. Because there's positive in all of it. Somehow there's something good can come out of the struggle. And you have done an incredible job of instilling that in your children. And that's why they've been able to have the success that they've had and not be defined by mitochondrial disease, right? Mitochondrial disease is what they have. It's not who they are.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean it doesn't come without challenges. It absolutely does. But having that positive attitude gets you through tomorrow, right? Gets you to the next day and just taking it one day at a time.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And there's no point in sitting here saying, why me? What all that stuff is so not valuable. There's nothing that can come out of that that's going to generate any positivity for you. It's just going to keep you in a place of being paralyzed, and instead of doing something with it that can help you and really make you strong, make your back strong, make your mind strong, that you can do some stuff moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been at this for a long time. What would be your advice to families that are just starting this journey, that may have an infant, that they feel like something's not right and they're on the journey of getting a diagnosis, or they have a teenager who's starting to exude symptoms, or perhaps even an adult who might be still on the diagnosis journey? What would be your advice to them?
Number one is you have to control your fear. It's normal for a parent to be afraid, for someone who doesn't feel right to be afraid of what it could be, because there has been so much research and so many things that have been put into place new studies and new things that you can become part of to help you with your symptoms. I think that the hardest stage of the process is when you have a newborn, because you're afraid anyway. You're afraid of everything, and you're trying to figure out how to save this baby, and it has all these challenges. You have to spend time with your child every day, celebrating that child for who this child is, and just spend the quiet moments with him or her, because no one knows when someone's going to be called home. No one knows that. So it's different. And the other big thing, the thing that I didn't have that I wish I had, I want anyone who needs to talk, you have me, you have Genevieve, call me on the phone and just talk it out. Because one of the hardest problems for me is I had no one understood in my life. Right. I had no one to talk to. No one understood. No one could handle what was going on. And that's why they left my life, because I was in a different place than them. And I was so alone. That was really rough. So you just got to talk it out with somebody. Like, I'm afraid of this, you know, but then you have to have somebody who's been through it to say, yeah, okay, this is scary, but look at what the great things that could happen. Like, to give you the flip side, the other side. And the other thing is when you're the mom, as difficult as it is, you have to stay strong. You got to stay positive. You got to stay strong. It's not helping that child if you're not in a headspace of positivity. You have to try to stay in a place of looking at the small gains and not thinking about the big gains, and never, ever compare your child to someone else.
Right.
Because that is just not a good idea.
Yes. Your child's journey is their own journey, and their successes are their own successes. And it may not be a success for somebody else, but you have to celebrate those successes for your child. And I, you know, at Mito Action, that's one of the things we pride ourselves on, is being there, being present, and making sure that families know that they have a community, that they have a family that is just a phone call away or Zoom away, or sometimes, you know, a lot of times when we weren't in COVID, in-face person-to-person visit away. It's important that you have a support system, and especially for the caregivers, because you get burnt out emotionally, yep, physically. And sometimes you just have to take a minute just to catch your breath and breathe and reset for yourself so that you can be the strength that person you're caring for needs.
Yes. And the other thing I would advise people, if you have a support system, which would have helped me immensely, if I knew that every Wednesday at 5 o'clock, I could go walk at the park, or I could have went and got my hair done, or I could have done something. As difficult as it would have been for me to do the first couple times, because I was so afraid of everything.
Right.
A place to get your head together, a place for you to sit and kind of like really try to clear your head. And you know it's coming. So when you're having bad days, you know a day's coming that you can sort of like
reset.
It would have made the biggest difference in me. because I had no window open. There was no one that was, everybody was afraid of my children. They wouldn't, they didn't come around because they didn't know what to say, even though I didn't expect them to say anything, but what to say or what to do. So they just avoided me, avoided the kids. But like a person like me that has seen it all, I wouldn't be afraid of your child. I would definitely come in and say, I got this for 2 hours. Please just go do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
Go, you know, and go out and do something for yourself. Even if you just take your car and drive somewhere, just sit for a little bit, like just breathe a little bit.
Right. No, that's important. You have to have self-care. You have, our caregivers have to take care of themselves and give them time to just have that moment to decompress.
Yes.
And recharge. It's really, really important. So you mentioned something that I think is really important to talk a little bit about is, you know, you talked about how people left and they didn't come around because they didn't know what to say or they didn't know what to do. From a mom's perspective, what did you need them to do?
Be there for me. Just be there. Have a cup of tea with me and let's talk. Let's talk about the things we used to talk about. Let's talk about jewelry. Let's talk about animals. Let's talk about what's going on in the world. Like, well, just talk. Like, it wasn't about, I know they couldn't do anything to fix my kid. I wasn't asking them to. I just would have loved to have the opportunity just to have a conversation.
Some sense of normalcy, to bring you some sense of normalcy.
Because it's not normal to be locked up for so long. It's not normal. I mean, when you take the baby some out, my son had a feeding tube and a pet pump and a book bag. People would stare at them. When Genevieve's walking and falls, or she had her walker and she'd fall over, people would stare. And I even had a lady say to me one time, why did you have three of them? Like, like knowing your first one would be sick. Why did you have three? And I feel like, and I'm like, I didn't. And all I said to her was, I understand why, where you're coming from, miss, but this wasn't my choice. This is the way the universe wanted it to be. I had no idea I carried this gene. I did not know it. Never heard of it. You know, don't have no way of understanding why or anything, but my children are just as significant as yours.
Absolutely. And
I don't see them as like fallacies on the world. So I don't know why you even would ask me that, but people have said that.
It's hard. I that's a conversation we have often is, you know, how do you explain to somebody for many who are affected by mitochondrial disease, it's invisible. In your situation, you know, Genevieve was very visible.
Yes.
You know, because people could see her falling and struggling. But those are hard conversations to have. So I think it's important to hear from somebody. How do you have those conversations and how do you need people to interact? And sometimes it's just to be there. Right. And as you said, to bring you some sense of normalcy.
Yes.
You don't want to sit around and talk about your kid's disease. You want to talk about, you know, what's the latest and greatest? What's going on? Anything that you would talk about if your child wasn't sick, have that same conversation.
Correct. Because that usually it's the mom and she loses all sense of herself.
Yes.
Like I remember wearing sweatpants and sweatshirts forever. There was no point in me getting dressed up. There was no point in me even trying to get dressed up. There was no one coming. There was no one that cared about what was going on here. And I was just sitting here existing. Like it was a dark, dark time, but it didn't have to be that way.
Right.
It didn't have to. Like it was bad enough the kids were sick, but if people really supported each other and really did right by one another, then supporting the people trying to take care of a situation like this and make them feel strong so that they're able to pull out their sword and their shield every day to do this. It's life-changing,
right?
Because you don't feel like you're losing your mind because you know, the lack of sleep. That's the other thing that would have been awesome. I would have loved to have taken a shower and maybe laid down for like a half hour.
Yeah.
Because I was so tired. I was tired because, you know, you were either cleaning up puke, you were cleaning up poop, you were cleaning up this. Yeah. And it was a constant thing. It wasn't just the kid was sick. This was a manifestation of the illness.
Right.
So it was just a constant grind and you just, you know, and hoping someday it gets better and someday this will get better. Someday this will get better, you know, and
yeah,
the loss of yourself. And it doesn't have to be that way. People who've been through this, they can definitely make a difference in someone's life. And you're not trying to cure anything. You're not trying to go in there and say some inspirational words. You're just talking about the weather.
Right. Just be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just show up. I would love that.
I would have loved it.
Just show up. Well, I thank you, Tony, for sharing your time with us, for sharing your family with us. You truly are an inspiration to this community, and your willingness and openness to share with other families, to be there with other families so that they don't have to go through the challenges that you went through, but also being there to share your experiences of those dark times to uplift these families. And help them get through so they know they're not alone. We are truly grateful to you for that. So anyone that is feeling like you're alone and, you know, you're the only one in the world dealing with this, you're not. And Mito Action is here for you. Tony is here for you. So
I'm here.
That's right. Reach out to us and we can connect you with Tony and you can talk, and she will show up for you. I guarantee you that.
I definitely will. And I appreciate you more than you will ever know. You have given my daughter something no one else could give. And that is the gift of believing in her, believing that she was worthy and she was worth your time and vital to something, because that was the one thing that Jenna never had, was somebody thinking she was worth it. And I cannot thank you enough. I cannot.
Well, it's an honor to work with her every day. And truly, she is a gift to us. So the gift is ours. She gives it back to us more than she will ever know. And so we're very, very thankful for her and all that she brings to Mito Action and to this incredible community we serve. So, well, thank you, Tony. We appreciate your time. We look forward to talking with you more and hearing more about all the amazing things that your children are doing, the successes that they are having, regardless of the challenges that they face with mitochondrial disease. And we hope that by sharing stories like this, that we can uplift others who are going through challenges to know that they too, they can see the light and they can have successes and find the joy even in the little things.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode of Energy in Action. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your listening app. This helps to boost us up the charts and makes it easier for others to find us. And remember, you can find all of the information referenced either in the show notes or over at mitoaction.org. Thanks for listening and have a great week.